Welcome to the Whiskey and Wisdom Podcast, coming to you from the Cargo District Recording Studios in Wilmington, North Carolina, where we discuss the most fascinating topics of life. I'm Tyler Yaw with my co-host, Chris Kelly, and each week we interview a special guest to learn how they acquired their wisdom over a glass of whiskey. So sit back, pour yourself a glass, and enjoy Whiskey and Wisdom.
Welcome back to the Whiskey Wisdom Podcast, everybody. This is your co-host, Tyler Yaw, and my constant goofball,
Chris Kellum.
And our special guest today is
Asia Lee.
Thank you. And what do you do?
Oh, when?
That is the best answer that we've gotten so far. What do you claim that you do?
That's what I was just talking to Chris before, and this is a long-winded answer, but It's like you should be so much more than your work, too, and I know that you're...
I agree, yeah.
I think a lot of your listeners are, like, business owners, and it's so good to, like, listen to podcasts for the self-development part of it, but just remembering, like, whatever you're doing is for your family or for your hobbies or for whatever you want to do. So I'm a wife. I live in Phoenix, but I was born and raised in Wilmington. I have three cats. I don't think we're called into parenthood right now, but I have a child, which my parents are wanting to talk about since I'm back home right now.
I'm sure. I know how that goes.
Yeah. We are looking to move here. Phoenix, if anyone's been, is dirt. It's really hot. It was like 120 this summer. And
oh, wow.
I thought that Wilmington was hot, but y'all like come spend a weekend where it's like literally 120, no humidity. You like can't touch your steering wheel because it burns your hand.
Wow.
Yeah. And like... we have pools, but like there's no beach. I'm not used to being landlocked either. So
there's people that love not having humidity out there, though. Is that a benefit?
I think it's good for some people. Like we have friends out there that have chronic pain. Mm-hmm. What's that disease that Selena Gomez has? Like the
I have no idea.
I don't know. Like she, so one of our friends have like chronic pain, and it's really good. Like the heat and the dryness is good for their like joint pain.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. It's like been. It's so rough on skin, but I know why the climate, like God mouths at first, you're like, this is Satan's armpit. Like, why does this climate even exist? But it is really good for like some people's issues. By trade, I have a marketing agency. I like to focus on PR, but it's just kind of turned into whatever digital marketing that whatever encompasses that. Like I started with one client and I realized that I much rather work with people who I enjoy. So a lot of the times when I meet a new person who's needing like social media help or PR help or graphic design help, as long as I get along with them well and I feel like I can truly help them. It's like, let's make you a customized package that works for your needs. I mean, I focus on like monetizing and like helping companies make whatever they're trying to do profitable too. So like with the resources that I have and like the contractors and the team that I have, if I'm able to help you, then I'll be honest and like make you a customized package there.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, but I just don't want to work with, like, buttholes or, like, people who aren't going to listen. Like, you're hiring a specialist. So, like, if you don't want them to, like, be creative and, like, actually use things that have worked historically, then just hire a part-time virtual assistant.
Yeah, true.
Interesting. I agree. But before we go super deep into your story of how you ended up in Phoenix and potentially not in Phoenix anymore, we are currently... because Asia doesn't drink, and I'm actually really tired because of the holiday season. We're drinking some energy drinks. bringing a little bit of ASMR, just because we can.
Ghost energy.
And this is a Strabango margarita, or a margarita, if you say it how Max does. And it's just a lot of energy. Tastes like a strawberry margarita. When you drink it cold, it really tastes like one.
Yeah.
It'll get you in trouble.
Like a heart attack trouble.
Oh, yeah. Cheers.
Yeah. In the past year, I've had like two or three drinks. I stopped for Emily or Chris's wife's 30th birthday party because our co-host Chris Kellum peer pressured me and my husband. And that's when I was like, you know, maybe I don't need a drink. So much, you know. And I was already stopping. Like I had an unhealthy relationship before I was 21. Like I only drank to get drunk, and I didn't know that I was just self-medicating, honestly, on like my parents getting separated. I think being far apart from God too. And I stopped drinking, but I mean, the past, it's not like I have anything against it. Like my husband still drinks. My grandpa passed away recently, so I had like two beers, Sam Adams and Budweiser, in honor for him. And yeah. I was like craving a Guinness the other day. So I think if you're able to do it in a healthy way,
in moderation.
I just couldn't. Like if I like feel it a little bit, I'm like, okay, like let's just go ahead and do 10 more. So I'm like, it's just healthier for me to not do anything at all.
I applaud you for understanding that balance. Yeah. There's so many people in the world who are like, I have to do it. I have to. And you're like, knowing your balances and what's good for you is perfect.
I think it's culture. Like a lot of, I mean, think mm-hmm. of like the ads that are out there, and it's, I mean, it's a business too, but yeah. you like have to have a drink in your hand to be having fun. And it's not the case.
No.
Yeah. They, as in Congress, back in like, I think the 60s, if I'm not mistaken, they were trying to outlaw any liquor advertising on TV around the same time that they got rid of all of the cigarette ads and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And while they had successfully gotten rid of all the cigarette ads, they started going after the liquor companies, and the liquor companies were like, hold up. Like, let's not ban us from this. What if we have like a gentleman's agreement that we won't just plaster ads everywhere and we just go our separate ways there, but we can do advertising in other ways. And then Congress was like, okay, like gentleman's agreement, as long as you don't put it on TV, we'll call it a day. But of course now
it's
on TV. But back then, when your handshake meant something, it was those guys that made the handshake deals. So that was really interesting too, that they were going after liquor companies at that point.
It's very intriguing. Like, I understand liquor companies, and I liked my drink every once in a while,
mm-hmm.
but I also enjoy a bar that can hold its own in the non-alcoholic or like low ABV mm-hmm. catalog. Cause that was one of the things, like, we were drinking, like, yes, I do drink on a regular basis, but not as much as I used to. Yeah. Like when we first started the podcast, I was like, ooh, alcohol. And I've kind of tapered off a little bit, but it's nice hanging out. Cause I sit at the bar all the time, just chatting with the bartenders and being like, hey, can you make me something that has like low alcohol, or what do you have that has none? Cause I've already had, you know, one or two tonight, and I got to drive home.
And a strip tease or two.
They don't have the ingredients for it, and it's really hurting my soul. That is quite literally my favorite drink, the strip tease too.
It's a non-alcoholic cocktail.
Yeah. It's very crisp. But yeah, this month I need to find another good one. Cause like when you're sitting there and like you're just hanging out chilling, I feel like if you're at a bar or like with friends and you don't have something in your hand, people are like, oh, you're trying to rush. You're trying to get done. You're trying to get out. I'm like, no, I'm really just enjoying time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I'm like, here, let me just have something. I'll just put like a dash of water with some saline in it, a little bit of lime juice here.
The good bartenders will know how to make a good mocktail, but sometimes mm-hmm. I'll go, like, I like to go to those like arcade bars or something, and I still want to have like something fun to drink, and you can't drink Red Bull. I don't want to drink Red Bull.
I was going
to
say, yeah.
Maybe when I was like 19, but if you ask, a good one normally can make a good mocktail, or they should be able to. One time I was somewhere and I was like, I just want some kind of mocktail, like fruity and sparkly. And they just gave me like a huge plastic cup of just straight pineapple juice. And I'm like, this isn't like what I'm talking about, but thank you.
I didn't say something other than alcohol. Yes. I was like, I wanted the same taste.
Which is sad, because you can do like, you can do pineapple juice, a little bit of sparkling water, and like, you know, adjust it with a little saline or something like
cranberry juice.
That's a good one. Yeah. Mm-hmm. People just get lazy. Mm-hmm. And that's unfortunately why I don't go to dive bars. Because they're like, okay, here you go. We did that when we moved to our neighborhood too. Like, we're like, hey, I want to find a local bar. And we showed up to one that's like not even two streets from our house. And I walked in, I'm like, hey, okay. I mean, it's not my vibe, but let's see what you got to drink. Like, hey, that flavored drink liquor up there, you make me something. The girl's like, oh, well, you know, I just mix it with Sprite. Do you want that? And I was like, ugh.
This is sure. not the Starling.
It was before the Starling opened too. So that's why I was like, yeah, this isn't going to work out.
We have beer on draft and we mix our liquor with co-products.
Well, they don't even have beer on draft. It's like, here's a can.
Say, yeah.
It's like, here's
your bottle.
It's sad because you make more money on draft, but it costs more to install it. But we're going to skip over from drinking because me and Andrew have spent many a nights drinking together. And we're going to talk about things outside of, trust me, we are all over the place. So I'm going to go forward then go backwards. Do you ever do that? Like when you're doing marketing for people?
Do what?
Like say, hey, you know, you said something really silly here, so I'm going to edit it and make you look a lot better.
Yeah. Yeah. There, like we were talking about before the podcast started, everyone's attention span's so low now. Mm-hmm. So say you have, I'm trying to not, I'll shout out my clients when they're cool for sure, yeah. But I don't want to shout out my clients. We're like, this is what she does terribly. But if you get like a 10-minute long video, okay, like we need to probably cut that into like 30 seconds to make it optimized for social media. But then if you have a client that's like, no, everything I said was important and you need to do the whole thing. And it also needs to get good reach and good engagement. Like it's just not possible. Mm-hmm. So it kind of goes back to, do you want to listen to who you hired or do you want to do what you think is going to work? So yeah, I mean, you always have to. And people who are even like aware and like know all of those things too, they should expect to get cut out. And that's what, like, I feel like B-roll is so good now, or even lifestyle footage on social media. Like, that's easy to cut up the audio without knowing that it's really cut up. So, yeah, I feel like you always have to. Or just, like, words that don't matter, like they, that.
It's very intriguing. I think we're going to, at some point, we'll do, like, an on-location episode again. I think we should get more B-roll.
I did it when I went River Landing with some of the shorter form stuff.
You saw
Larry kind of hitting balls and stuff while, and overlaid it on top of our actual podcast.
He's getting fancy. Check out our YouTube.
Yeah.
YouTube plug.
I mean, we're getting bigger and better. So like we started, we just hit 100 episodes and like almost every 25 episodes, we add something different. So we tried TikTok a while ago.
It's noticeable to the listeners. Every episode we do something different.
Oh, well, true. One of these days, I keep telling Tyler, I'm like, I'm going to actually mark spots in the floor so we can know where this goes every time we come in. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'll try not to. No. Because I rearrange the studio every couple of months.
Yes, he does. So you'll have to come back again.
And it'll look different again.
Yeah. We'll have a whole nother episode of just messing around.
I thought about that on the way here, though. You kind of have to give yourself space to change.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's okay. I mean, it's not really like you're going back. You're like going forward, making good changes.
I feel like there's a happy medium. I think I do it a little too much. There's always something about improving, but there's something about improving every single episode that you can't get into like an actual workflow.
You have to see what the results are going to be of your last change before you go and change again.
Right.
That's what I try to tell them. Give it a month.
We don't make any big, like I said, we don't make any big changes every like 25 episodes. So that gives us a good like 3 or 4 months to see if that's working. And then I'm just like, oh, I wonder if this will help my workflow more. So I try something new almost every single time to see if it helps the workflow. But really, I haven't gotten into any type of flow because I keep changing something. So I'll eventually get over it.
It's like what you were just asking about the clients too. Normally, like I rather do batches within like 2 week batches or 1 to 3 weeks. But if somebody's wanting like, hey, I want you to deliver 3 months of social media content, that's not going to work because then we don't have room to, you know, try something new.
Yeah, because you've already batched it all and you're like, well, if none of this worked for the first 2 months, probably not going to work for the third.
Yeah. And when we finally, like the fourth month comes, we finally make the changes and something new is happening with social media. There's a new trend or.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, changes. I don't know how you could batch 3 months out with all of the changes and trends in social media.
If you have the raw footage, it's a lot easier. Yeah. But I wouldn't want to try to edit that many videos at one time. It just wouldn't make sense.
I met you years and years ago.
I'm 17.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Because they came into Buckle wanting a job, and they were like, no, you have to be
18. Old school. That's God, that makes me feel so old. Sheesh. But what made you want to work there?
So my first job was at Smithfield's Barbecue when I was 16, and then I worked at Plato's Closet. A friend of mine, like sister, managed at the time, so I wanted a job, and I was like, I have retail experience. This Buckle job is cool. and not Plato's Closet.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
So you went to high school, you had some retail experience, and you're like, hey, I want to change this up a little bit. Mm-hmm. I like that.
Yeah. So I went in when I was 18, I was going to school to be a teacher, and I just needed just some kind of job. So yeah, I just walked in, see if I could get a job. I didn't know anything about Buckle.
Don't worry. I didn't either. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things that I loved about that shop is that I didn't know what I was getting into when I got there, but I loved the things that I learned there and meeting you. I think you're one of two people that I still talk to that worked there with me, which is nice. That means I made a good friendship with you.
Yeah. You and two of the people I still talk to in Wellington out of the 3-4 I met at Buckle.
See, it was a good place to start. Mm-hmm. And then it took you. So it made me think, what was your driving factor? Like, I always felt like you had, I meet a lot of kids, I say kids loosely, but I meet a lot of people who are like, hey, you know, I'm settling in at this position in life and I don't have any goals to go bigger or better. So what kind of drove you? Because I mean, the whole time we were there, I felt like you were always learning and trying to get better and grow yourself. What drove you to that?
Yeah, I've just always wanted, I only compare myself to who I was before, and I don't want to do anything unless I'm going to be good at it. Mm-hmm. So I think it's okay, if I'm going to apply myself, if I'm spending time here, then I'm not going to spend it wasted. So I want, whether it's numbers, whether it's hiring, whether it's merchandising, whatever it is, I want to be able to be the best I can at it.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Thank you for our sponsor, the Leland Brewing Company, right over the bridge in Leland Township. Definitely check them out. It's a nice local spot with local beers that they're making on site, as well as some that aren't from the area. It is an amazing family-friendly location, and it's really nice. They got some greenery out back, as well as some nice food trucks that pop up every now and then. So give them a check out. Tell them that Whiskey and Wisdom sent you. Very nice.
Yeah.
So how did you get started at a Buckle, Chris?
Me? So I was slinging wallflowers for a few years, and then won an employment, came back.
Wait, literally?
What does that mean?
I worked at Bath & Body Works.
Gotcha. Okay.
I was just trying to keep the name of the business out, so just being lazy like that.
I feel like candles. It's been on the podcast before.
No, so I worked at Bath for almost 5 years, counting the time I was on deployment and basic training. And we had new management. And we didn't get along that well. So one day people from Buckle came over and hey, we need wallflowers because our store smells. And they're like, you're doing a really good job. I like your vibe. You should come work here. I was like, yeah, I'm good. And pass it up. And then the store manager came over and said the same thing. And I was like, well, this job isn't working out. So yeah, I'll come apply. And then I was at Buckle for 3 years.
Seems so much longer than that.
That was the longest 3 years of my life. Because you were there. Did we really only work together for a year?
Yeah, that doesn't seem right.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of how it always feels. Because that's the same with us, too.
Well, both of y'all worked with me, and then you left, and then came back. And then went to other places, bigger and better.
Yeah.
See? So then it leads me to my next fun question. What led you back to Christ?
Oh, is that how you looped around?
So yes, this is how I loop back around. Yeah. But because I know how we were when we worked together and after all of our silliness and our shenanigans, was it the being a manager and moving away from home, or is it finding your husband, which I always forget. Never mind.
Yeah, we have a lot of questions. We can go through all the things, Chris. I just didn't expect, I thought you were going to ask about Buckle again. I'm like, I love talking about Jesus. I just didn't know Jesus was, didn't know you're going to loop back to Jesus.
I didn't know if you met Jesus while you were at Buckle or after or in between.
Yeah, I was raised in a Southern Baptist church. So it's you know, the laws or, what their interpretation is. So it's I knew the stories, I knew of him, but I think it's different than knowing of the Lord versus knowing him and actually living out the word, actually living, having a relationship with him. So mm-hmm. I knew about him, but all the people that I knew I didn't want to be like I'm around these people who are gossiping all the time or just really hateful towards people. And it's like, I think that is a lot of the Southern Baptist or like even like the Southern Christian. It's separating Christ from Christians.
Okay.
So yeah, I left the church. My parents got divorced and it's because like, even when my parents got married, my mom's white and she went to the church. My dad is Vietnamese. So it was a big deal when they got married and like my great grandpa went there. And I remember like my family was supportive, but there were other people in the church that weren't. Mm. And so there was always that, like I was the only not like white person there. So that's not what heaven looks like either. and Jesus was Jewish and definitely brown.
Right.
So, I know that feeling.
Yeah. So as I got older, it was like in high school, my parents got separated and my mom just stopped taking us to church. So that's when we stopped going to church. And I just like didn't care. I'm like, this doesn't mean anything to me. Like, I know the stories. This is great that this works for some people. But like, I don't care. Like, I didn't really know what living a Christian lifestyle was rather than just like Sundays and Wednesday nights. Because mm-hmm. It's like, why are we going to church on Sunday, learning this message that is so boring? And then we're going home and drinking. And my parents fighting and talking bad about other people. So yeah, you met me when I was definitely like idolizing the people that I was dating or abusing like alcohol, just living life, just doing whatever I wanted to at like 18, 20. And it's not like all of it was bad. Like I still was able to like develop, but I just wasn't focusing on, I didn't have like, what's the reason? Like why, if you're going to be a good person, it's like, okay, where do your morals come from? It's not just like an internal compass of like this, just be happy and mm-hmm. this is going to work. It's like, oh, just be a good person. But like, if you don't have something to look on and like, hey, what is a good person? Mm-hmm. What is like, where's your goal? Where are your goals coming from? So I left Buckle and I didn't really, I mean, I also like my testimony. I was just living in the world for sure. And what was happening is like, I got super depressed. Like all these things that I was chasing, you know, the drinking, the temporary relationships, the buying the things, like all these things aren't going to like truly bring you happiness. So, and I'd always been around Christians who were like blindly following, like actually mm-hmm. didn't like, I don't, even if the church wants you to ask questions, I think just some people don't feel comfortable asking questions. It's like, Satan wants us to feel isolated. Satan wants us to feel like we can't be, we're alone. Like we're the only ones wondering like, hey, did these things really happen? Like, mm-hmm. So I just kind of went, I didn't have a church to go to. So I just started doing like research online. I think starting with the Bible is really daunting, especially when it's like you're used to King James Version or like mm-hmm. a really monotone pastor. So I just started searching. I know the history is what really got me. It's like, hey, is even what's in this book true? Like, it's so old. So like, how do we know that it's a real thing? So I just started like looking up the questions I had, like, hey, like who were these authors? Were they real people? And like what I found was that the facts and evidence in the Bible are also accounted for in resources that aren't technically like Christian or like technically biblical. So mm-hmm. why would... like man wouldn't make this thing because it is so like, you know, if it's so restricting, it's not like this was just a fun thing to write or just such like a happy story right. or like a lullaby. Like this is like, there's really messed up things in there. So yeah. It's why has this been around for so long? And I think it's even like with your relationship with your spouse or relationship with a friend, if you have questions, you're not going to look for those answers outside of that person. So I just like leaned more into him and it's like, hey, if you're even real, then show me these things. And then it's like, oh crap, you actually answered these things. So now I gotta start changing my life.
All right, welcome back everyone.
Thanks for just a
short ad break. Small little intermission there.
This episode is brought to you by
Cargo District Studios. Anyway, so to kind of go off what you were saying previously, have you heard of George Janko podcast? Mm-hmm. So he's actually a Syrian and he was impulsive with the Paul brothers. Paul's,
yeah.
And the way that he started his own podcast was, I think it was Jake Paul was really ragging on the Christian faith. Mm-hmm. And for George, like
that's his whole identity. It is who he is. And just like us, just kind of trying to live as close to the life of Jesus as possible as we can in a human body. And he was kind of fighting back against that. And he was like, man, like, this is crap. Like, you need to stop. And just, it was amazing to see someone who was with a Jake Paul, who's making a ton of money at social media. Like, George was probably doing all the things that he ever wanted to do. And then to just step out straight on faith, saying, hey, you know what? This is right. This is wrong. Just going for it. And then hearing his podcast and the different things that you just talked about and how important it is to ask questions about faith. So if you're not asking those questions, do you really have faith, or is it just a blind following? And I think exactly what you said, I think that's where a lot of Christians get in trouble. It's just that blind following of whatever the human pastor is saying on there and going with it, as opposed to asking more questions. Because naturally, when you ask more questions about Christ or about God, you will eventually fall into the word or hear other people's viewpoints and perspectives of it. And I think that does make you a stronger Christian as well.
Right. And you shouldn't be blindly following. And like, the Lord doesn't want us to just like listen without knowing the real reason why behind it too. So I think it's good to also like self-evaluate. Like, I don't want to be following anything that's fake. So like, if I do come across a scripture that is, I don't like it's like not nice towards women, or it's like, why is there rape here? Or why are there these things here? So like, leaning into it and like actually like searching, like, hey, like, we need to give ourselves room to grow with whatever that means. Like, I have a friend that is Mormon, and I don't know if you guys know anything about the faith. I want to one day, maybe we can do this together. I want to one day do a documentary, just like really talking about like what it teaches and what suppression and what like information goes on around there, because it's just so interesting. And like, it isn't a place to ask questions. It isn't a place to know the whys behind it. It's blindly follow like the prophet, blindly follow what leadership is telling you. And when I started like researching more about it, cause I do like, I loved her. I love her friendship. but like, okay, if this is really true, what they're doing, I talked to my husband about it. Like, we need to follow it. Like, I want to be so open-minded that it's like, hey, if we come across something that isn't, God isn't real, or Jesus isn't who he said he was, or Joseph B. Smith is true, then we should want to know the truth. Like, hell does not sound like a fun place to be. So right. And that's a lot longer than our life in our flesh, like you were saying. But every time I've done that, like, I feel like the Lord just shows me more and more that he is who he says he is. Mm-hmm. But I want to be a safe place for those people that aren't in church, don't have Christian friends, didn't know like the word, like whether it's like abortion, same-sex attraction, is creation really real? Like, having those hard conversations that they probably don't have someone to ask. So like, the questions that I had, that I had no one, I had to go on YouTube and like just like discern what was true and not from the little bit of like knowledge and wisdom that I had.
I think it's crazy too, because I always think about everyone saying, hey, there's always these passages in the Bible of like being sheep, and like, he's the great shepherd. He would leave and go bring that sheep back. And I always think, like, sheep are cool. There are some people in the world who are meant to be sheep, and they're supposed to be herded and just follow the leader. But I'd much rather be a goat. And people, yeah, I know that look on your face. But I'd rather be a goat. Why? Because one, they're hard-headed. So I'd rather be hard-headed and ask those questions and learn more about like the situation. And they're always like moving through life on like such thin edges. So like, they're pushing things to the edge and asking those questions and learning. But if you always see them, they're always going up higher and higher than ever people who are just satisfied with staying on flat ground. They're like, hey, I want to go up here. I want to learn this. I want to see what this view is from this top spot. And I feel like they still follow each other. They still see it like, oh, hey, that guy got up here, had to have been a way for him to get there, which means if he got there, that means I have a way to get there too. And to me, that's like I would strive to be. If I want to be an animal, like, I'd rather be a goat.
I think you touch on something important too, to kind of tie it all together, right? Is one thing that I think people do incorrectly with the Bible these days is taking it in the context of the here and now and not taking it into the context of the then. So when the authors of the Bible were alive, it's a very different world than what it is right now.
And so, although I do believe the Bible is a living, breathing book that will tell you how to live your life, I think it does make difference to understand what were the context of which these authors were living. So to your point with the sheep, right? So right now, if you call someone a sheep, people take offense to that. They're like, I'm not following shit. And they're like, whatever the case may be. It was like, no, I make up my own mind. But I think like when you think about it, like they even call like the great lamb and everything too. I think it's just the docile nature of it versus when you're thinking about like the dictators and the kings of the time that had such an iron fist, that was not a sheepish type of thing to do, but to kind of go out and allow to be led in the right direction, having faith in the shepherd, is like part of that kind of that story there. So I think just having a context of what was going on then versus what's happening now. And I could say with a bunch of other things that I've have theories about in the Bible too, with what was going on then versus now, and how are you taking this word into context in today's terms and the way that it's been translated over the times and stuff too.
Yeah, and there's other historical documents that we still reference and use, but we're not using those documents to get to know God more. So it's like, look at those. That's fine. Like, you should be able to look at those and like compare it to what the Bible is saying. And it's not, we're reading, like, you should be reading that for transformation and like for, like, to know who God is better. It's not like Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and Bible. It's like, hey, we have the Lord, and then we also have like this, you know, this text message that he sent us. It's like, hey, we're spending so much time on our phones, and the Lord like sent us this text message, and we're leaving him unread right now.
That's a good point. I like that.
I like that.
But yeah, our flesh like wants to be a part of something too. Like whether it's like a friend group, whether, I think that's why these cults do so well, because it's like they get people in community with each other, and that puts a really bad taste for like religion and faith in most people's mouth. But our flesh want, and we're, you know, bound to these flesh for 120 years, but we want to be a part of something. And most people, yeah, they like are like, oh, I'm not a sheep. You know, our flesh doesn't want to be a sheep, but it's like, at the end of the day, it's like, why do you think that? It's culture. It's like what these like politicians who are using the Bible to hurt people, but actually aren't, you know, like transformed or like living with the Lord. They're just using this to suppress other people. And that's not, it's not why he came.
Yeah. It's just like any other tool as well. Like a knife you can use to cut your food, to hunt, to whittle a stick into whatever you need it to be, to make a chair, whatever. But you can also use a knife to kill someone. Like, how are you using that tool that was sent and given to you? And I think you can use that with almost anything.
That's so good. Yeah.
Because, like, to your point, I've seen the Bible weaponized way too many times. And quite honestly, I think that's using the Lord's name in vain as opposed to using any curse word.
It's that, those Christians, you know, people who are like, what is it, like the CEO Christians, the Christmas Easter only Christians. That's more damaging than just like Satanists or atheists, because it's pushing people away. So yeah, I think you're so right. Like, that's why people think that this hate and this like suppression is Jesus, and that's just not the case. But I understand, like, I, of course you don't want to be a part of something like that. So I think a lot of people are comfortable, like you're using like the goat analogy. It's like a lot of people are used to staying on the level they're at. They're like, oh, I just don't care about this. Like, I need to go focus on work, focus on my hobbies, focus on whatever. And like, I don't care to like go any higher. But then those doubts and that self-confidence issue and like that, those like the porn issue, like all of these things are still controlling your life. So if you don't have anything that's actually helping you conquer those things, it's like you can't do those things on your own. And like you try. You get definitely, like, there's definitely ways, like, you know, through therapy, through, like, self-development, through all those things. Like, what's actually going to, like, free you from the chains?
Yep.
Yeah, I think that's a lot of what a lot of people are going through now. It's just searching for that meaning and searching everywhere other than what's truly fulfilling you. I mean, that's even in the Bible, too. Like, there's always going to be a God-filled hole in your heart. And if you try to fill it with something, it's just not going to fill it the whole way. And, like, I've even gone through things, too. Like, I've never really said I'd have strayed away from my Christian faith, but there was definitely times I was further away than now. And at those points where it felt like I was lacking, and it was because I was chasing after something else.
I like that. Very truthful.
It's true for me anyway.
Yeah. I think so. I was telling Asia, my brain is all over the place. Mm-hmm. But the reason why I jumped into this question is because it made me think why, from my point of view, why you were such a great leader. It's because your energy attracts people who are good at their job and are searching for something. And I feel like you are a good light post for people to follow. Because I know in the faith, like you want to be something that people can be attracted to, and you lead a good example, whether it be in work or in Christ or, you know, just in life in general.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely still get convicted on like, where are other people living right now that at one point where I wasn't making my decisions based off of what Jesus is telling me. So yeah, it's like you always change, and I'm like just grateful that hopefully I'm able to like right the wrongs that I did do, whether it's through whatever it is, whatever, like, I don't even want to say it's like sin, because that's another like weaponized word that's not right, but just like a not fulfilling lifestyle.
So not to go back to the same podcast that I was just talking to you about.
Let's talk about Jesus, Tyler.
But that George Janko podcast that I was telling you about, one of his most recent ones, to at least when we're recording this. So this name is very triggering to some people, but Andrew Tate. So people hear that. I know.
Get out of here. He's Muslim. Chris now, is going, right?
What's that?
He's Muslim real, isn't he?
So that's what I was wondering too, but listening to it, like, he has read the Quran from start to finish, and he's read most of the Bible. So he is a religious man. I'm not sure where he falls along the spectrum of it, but the reason why I bring up this podcast in particular, George Janko and Andrew Tate, is I've never seen someone question Andrew in the way that George did, coming from the full faith in Christ background. And that was a really interesting conversation to hear someone like an Andrew Tate and a George Janko get together and have these open conversations where there was no holds bar. They could really go in, and where some of the things might kind of align together and some of them don't. So the one thing that George brought up about Andrew Tate, and I know everyone would agree with, he's extremely prideful. Mm-hmm. And in the Bible, pride is one of like a major sin. Like, you don't want to be looking at yourself above everything, especially when there's God above you. So like having that conversation all together too. So it was interesting, kind of back to like asking the questions and seeing a live kind of question and answer debate between both of them, and how someone who may be closer to Muslim and someone who is a Christ follower kind of come together. So I thought that was really interesting. And if for someone who wanted to see what that looked like in a very short, like, attention span type of way, I think that might be like a good starting point to hear someone that most people don't agree with, or a lot of what they don't agree with, to someone who is a true Christ follower and who puts it out there. So the only reason I bring it up.
Well, yeah. And I mean, Satan knows the Bible ins and outs better than most Christians do. Like, that's why you always do have to be putting the armor of God on, like actually like studying it and like just putting your like flesh to rest every day, because he's always coming to attack. And then also like making a sheep in lion's clothing.
Mm-hmm. A lion in sheep's clothing.
Yes. But like even like witches will like go to churches just to infiltrate and like, you know, like spread almost the truth. Right. But then just like deceive, and
yes,
like just like having so much truth, and like how can we twist it to make it, you know, use what Jesus did, but then also like get you to come a different way too. Yeah. And there's so many people in the Bible that did question, and like the Lord wouldn't have put that in there if he wanted us to just blindly follow either. So yeah.
I was very intriguing, because I read a bunch of like fantasy books and stuff that's not realistic. But I was reading one, and I listened to this podcast, and it's always interesting to see the correlation between like real life and what they put in fantasy books. And the series, the Empyrean series, they just dropped a new book, and I was like reading through it, and they're like, these people are training all these people to be warriors and fighting this great cause. But they keep doing this crazy amount of editing for what they allow the people, like the kids in school, to learn. Mm-hmm. And they're like, and then they like to turn what they think they saw against them. Like, they had a quote where it's like, hey, this and this happened. And the guy teaching the class was like, but did it? What if it said this? And he knew exactly what it said, because he had it in front of him. But as soon as the papers left the kids' hands, the kids were like, wait, did it really say that? So mm-hmm. like to your point is that's what people are doing in politics, like high up in the world. They're taking like, obviously they know a lot. They've been through a lot and they're just taking that little bit and twisting it. So it sounds right. They probably change like two words. Mm-hmm. And so it sounds even better. And because it sounds better, you're like, eh.
Or not getting the context, not getting like, right. who are they talking to? Why yeah. are they saying this? Not like, hey, they said women can't speak. So that means women can't speak at all. It's like, no, actually it's because they weren't allowed to go to school. And it's because mm-hmm. they, like yeah. all these other reasons. So it's like, no, you're not going to listen to, whether it's a woman or a man, you're not going to listen to anyone who's not educated on a topic, teaching a topic.
Yeah. It's like they asked a question and they got the answer to that question. Nothing else was written. Like they could have asked other stuff.
Yeah.
And that was just the question that was asked.
It's funny you bring that one up too. Cause I actually got kicked out of a church for bringing that up.
Of course you did.
Yeah.
What way did you bring it up, Tyler?
Well, no, they were like, yeah, see, this is why women can't like be in a leadership position. This is why women can't do this. And I was like, first of all, the passage that you said, it literally says, however, after where you stopped reading it. I was like, so I want to continue reading the sentence. I was like, and on top of that, if we go into the context of the time and going through it, like, if that's how you really feel, I don't think you belong here.
Rather than like, just like oh. actually decide, like coming alongside you and saying like, hey, let's figure this out together. I don't agree with you, but let's get the right answer and like.
Right. Yeah. And so like the one thing that I was at least proud about myself is understanding like, okay, I don't agree with like this church, obviously, but I didn't turn my back on Christ because I realized these were people that had an agenda outside of the book of the Bible. And so it was like, okay, I've been to plenty of other churches that wanted you to ask questions. So the church I was at prior to that, before I moved, the one thing that I really loved about it is before you could become baptized, you had to go to other different religions. So I went to a Jewish synagogue. I had to go to a mosque. I went to people that come to your house, knock on your door.
JWs.
Yeah. It's the Mormons and
Jehovah Witness.
Yeah. So you had to go to other types of different Christian. I had to go to a Catholic church.
That's so
and
cool.
stuff too. Yeah. So it was really neat going through and I learned so much. I still have friends that I met at those different locations too. So it was really neat. So I was super glad and very lucky that I had that first version of Christ come to me that like wanted you to ask questions and wanted to have you experience other things. They're like, you don't know if you want to be baptized until you actually like figure out if you want to be baptized or not. And that's what you wanted to accept in your heart. So like, that was really neat too.
Wow. That's so cool that most churches aren't going to want you to do that. And you have to be really strong in your faith and like know the word, like even with like we're talking about like Muslim, like there's so much in there that is correct, but it's just like, just not enough. And it's interesting. It's like, hey, they don't think Jesus is Lord, but in the Quran, it says like, listen to the gospels. And it's like, okay, your gospel and your Quran like aren't going hand in hand. Like, so we weren't going to pull up the Bible today, but in Genesis 6,
we weren't, I was expecting you to.
No, I wasn't planning on doing it, but I think this is so interesting. So have y'all heard of the Nephilim before?
Yeah.
So what is y'all's, what's your understanding and what's your knowledge of the Nephilim?
I wouldn't say I'm an expert by any means. I just know like the existence of the two coming together to create the Nephilim type of thing.
Like that's the fallen angels.
Right. And, yeah.
Yes. So this
aren't they giants. Supposedly?
Yeah. So that's another translated word is like giant. And I feel like, so this is the story of like Noah's Ark too. And I feel like you always think of Noah's Ark being like, you know, cartoon characters. This is like a nursery story almost. Like you can learn this when you're really young. So when those foundations are set, how often do we really go back? Like we always want the next thing. Mm-hmm. Do we always want to go back and really learn this? But this is what I'm learning and like going through right now. So I wanted to share it with you since you brought up fantasy, because my husband also loves reading Warhammer books.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And there's so many weird things that come up where it's like, okay, mermaids, dinosaurs, giants, whatever it is. So let me find where this is, because I thought that this was really interesting. So this is Genesis 6. When human beings began to increase in the number on the earth and the daughters were born to them, the sons of God saw the daughters of humans were beautiful, and they married any of them they chose. Then the Lord said, my spirit will not contend with humans forever, for they are mortal. their days will be 120 years. So also when people are like, hey, why are people living 700 years in the Bible? It's because like when we live for so long, we'd be doing stupid stuff. So God is like, you're capped out 20 years. So that we won't have to go through this whole thing because like scholars and like people who are way more educated with me on this, like are always learning it. But sons of God are the fallen angels. Mm-hmm. So that's why, like, why would it, if it was humans and like it says daughters of humans and sons of God. So there'd be, these are not humans that we're talking about here. This is cool. Like we're talking about stuff that just seems like mystery or like fantasy level stuff. So it talks about the sons of God came into the daughters of humans. So they had sex with the daughters of human. And that's where the Nephilim come from. And the Nephilim were on the earth in those days. And also afterward, when the sons of God went to the daughters of humans and had children by them. And they were the mighty, mighty men of their time. So when you think of mighty men, you think of Hercules, you think of like all of the Greek gods. So all of these other religions still like, it still talks about it in the Bible, but I think we have to start with like the milk and start with like the not as higher level stuff when you're younger. And like how often do people like go to the next level to and actually learn like, oh, we're talking about like, and it talks about like sinning against animals. So it's talking about like, this is where those half goat, half men come from and half horse, half men come from. I just think that's so interesting.
To that point too, there's a new podcast I just found and the latest series on it is called Dragons in the Bible. And it talks about the different translations and how it translates into dragons and stuff too. And I was like, I never thought of it that way. Cause when you read the Bible, it's not saying like there's a dragon with wings flying around. But when you take the translations, you're like, oh, that's really interesting. And like, how does it actually play into it? So if you're, and I've always heard that too, like one of the best like fantasy type of books that's real is the Bible. Like you have like the dragons, you have the Nephilim, you have all of these crazy things that are going on. You have these wars, you have concubines, you have all kinds of like, if you want the world's greatest, like action packed story, it's in the Bible.
So much of it is derived from there anyway. And I want to like loop back around and like not go back to it or get stuck on it. But so the fallen angels like had all of these like children with these daughters of humans. And then they weren't able to be saved. Like they didn't have a spirit. They didn't have a soul. So like, that's why the flood happened. So it was literally, it's not like Noah was this like super religious, like perfect person. It's like, he was the only one not tainted. Like his bloodline was the only one that wasn't mixed in with these like fallen spirits. So that was interesting. It's like, hey, this wasn't like these people are bad and drinking all the time or voting Democrat, like or Republican or whatever. It was like, hey, no, these are like really, these aren't humans anymore. Like, we don't have to get into all of it.
It's a whole other podcast.
It is a whole other podcast.
So yeah, you could have a whole series of podcasts over there. Yeah.
Rent out the Cargo District to have a podcast, to start your own podcast.
I'll just sit here and just ask the questions.
Ask the questions.
Just poke the bear and do ASMR randomly between it.
Make Tyler mad with moving the camera, moving the light.
Tyler doesn't care that much.
I'm just going to edit it as one way anyway. AI does most of my work.
Yes. Are you going to drop in like pictures of like goat people and Nephilim?
So yeah, I actually was right going here. To. And did you like the chef that I put on your picture?
Yes.
Did you see the reel from our 100th episode?
Oh, yeah.
You have to search it.
Classic chef with an apron and no pants.
Good.
Yeah. And no shirt. He was almost naked.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, it reminds me. There's a movie with Marshall from How I Met Your Mother. Mm-hmm. It was like a 7-year engagement or something like that. Either 5 or 7 year. And I remember him doing that. He just like went cooking up in the kitchen and he literally turns around. And he's like, just got an apron on. You're like, broski, you need to find something to do in life. Such a weird movie. I watch a lot of those. But what does success look like for you?
Oh, I think just having like true like peace and joy and like love. I don't think it's money. I think that money is going to make you just more of who you are. So if you're already like a selfish, prideful, not great person, it's going to be more of that, or vice versa. If you're like a good person, it's like more room to give and actually use that money towards things that matter. So, yeah, I think it's just having a life that you're proud of and being, as we're like, no proud, right. Don't be prideful. But like
There's a difference.
Yeah, so. Having a life that you are excited about too. It's not just about like, this position and this spouse and this amount of kids. Like that stuff isn't really, why are you doing it?
Interesting.
So, yeah, I remember when I was being a delinquent, when I was being a freaking baddie, do we want the whole story or do we want the end cap?
Oh, let's go.
Okay, it's pretty funny. I don't know if you know this. It's really funny. Okay, so I lived by myself for a little bit.
Yeah.
And I was being a delinquent. I was being bad. So I was just living up bachelorette lifestyle.
Living our best life.
I live in a life. I don't know if it's the best life, but I was living the cultural best life. Yes. So it was like, we were out one night. I was like drinking and I was probably like 19 at this time. I should have been doing these things, but
No,
I won't call out what bouncer let me in at a local Wilmington bar. Right. But, yeah, I was just being bad. And I was out with my friends. I met a guy and we got to my apartment. I live by myself at. And my brother was there. My brother, who was my little brother, who was like 17 at the time. And my family didn't know that I was thotting around town. So I was like, okay, plans are changing a little bit. We were only gonna like play checkers at my house, obviously.
Clearly.
Yeah. What else?
Chess is better.
What do you else do with strangers at 2 a.m.? So yeah, so I was like, oh, this checkers game is canceled. So what are we gonna do? My brother had his professional license at the time, so he's able to drive not after 9 and not with people who were drunk. And I was like, we're not staying here. So me and this we're like, you know what? We're gonna go to my grandma's house. Because we had to leave. And so I couldn't drive because I was drunk. And then the guy I was with also was drunk. So my brother was like, okay, I'll drive you, which is like, that's a good decision.
Yeah.
But it wasn't legal. So it was also military ball night. So we got pulled over. Or they had like a check stop.
Yeah.
So my brother got in trouble for driving after hours. I got in trouble for being drunk underage. And so did the guy I was with. So anyway, like we go to my grandma's house, whatever, it was fine. Not my husband, in case anyone was wondering. So from the ticket, I had to go to whatever training it is.
Mm-hmm. Oh, like alcohol abuse training?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely the youngest person in there. Like I was. And when I went, they make you fill out this questionnaire that's like, what does happiness look like to you? What do you see? How do you see yourself in 5 years? What's success look like? Wow. And I literally was just, even then I was like, I just want to be happy. You know, like I just want like to truly have joy. So I think that's more important. Like I think with those things, you actually are able to be like clear minded to make the other decisions that are more tangible.
So were you happy in 5 years from that decision?
Oh, I think that's like right now. I think it might be. Yeah.
I don't know. How old are you?
I'm 26.
Yeah, it's close.
So you're close
so
to
it's
it. Pretty yeah.
Close. Yeah, I would say. Okay. So, yeah.
So you had growth from a bad situation. You turned it and you learned from it. I feel like that's what should happen in general. Like in life, like people do bad things. And it's like, there's some bad stuff you can't come back from. But a lot of times we make poor decisions. And as long as you learn from it, it's not really a poor decision. Like it's just a learning opportunity.
Right.
Most things you can't, I mean, unless you like cut off a limb or something, like most things you can come back from, like it might not be fun coming back from it, but.
Right.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
Like might not be an easy road.
Yeah. You got to face the music sometimes. If you're running from something, you eventually have to go down that same road with some people that you probably didn't want to see again, but.
Every action has a consequence.
Yeah. I tell my son that all the time. When he throws something and he can't get it back. Like this is a natural consequence for you throwing that behind the couch. Sorry.
I'm too short to reach it too. So
right.
Like I'm not punishing you. The mistake you just made is like, this is just the right. Reason of you being bad.
Oh, this is why I don't need kids. I'm too straightforward. People are like, you're being mean. No.
It's like when
you're just learning.
When gentle parenting isn't working anymore.
Right.
You're like, you're not gentle childing right now. Like, no. To you, children are a blessing. It truly yes. Is not for me, not my calling.
Because me and Asia have seen some of the Marvel movies together. That was one of Emily's first dates. We went in Endgame or something with Asia and John.
Yeah, Chris and I have been friends. Like we're friends for like 5 years before, and we met our spouses the same month. That's really cool.
It was.
I think about that a lot. It's really cool.
and we've only had two pictures together. So
yeah, it's pretty terrible. You can put those on the screen, Tyler, of my husband in a dress.
Oh yeah, I know which one you're talking about.
It's a good
one.
Yeah. I will find it. I'll send it to you.
Okay, so my final question is, if you could tell your younger self one thing, what would it be?
I think it's just be patient. Like, you don't have to rush into so many things. It's okay to be happy where you are and like find the goodness in the season that you're in right now. Like, I just know, like, when I was living in Wilmington, when I was living in Charleston, I was just so ready to move again. And I like missed out on so many opportunities and so many like relationships, so many people that could have impacted me and I could have impacted, but I was just so busy worrying about what was next. And I mean, that's all the time. Like, when we're in high school, you're ready to graduate college. When you're ready to college, you're ready to get married. Like, and you can't actually like enjoy the trip there too.
You can't enjoy the season you're in because you're always looking for the next season. Mm-hmm. Just like in TV shows.
That's right.
If you know that the show's going to end in season 8, you're like, okay, what's going to happen next season? And I'm also sad that TV shows nowadays on Netflix only have like 8 episodes.
That pisses me off.
So stupid.
Maybe patient.
I'm not.
Next season's coming.
Maybe. Well, I'm impatient because I guess like American shows are trained us to be like 20 episode seasons. Mm-hmm. But in Europe, everything has like 8 to 12 episodes. And you're like, huh?
I was like, I love watching Catfish. And there's like 60, 50 episodes on some of their seasons.
Oh, geez. Yeah,
but they're 30-minute episodes and then do like back to back.
But that's some people's whole series.
Yeah.
And it was during COVID, so they're able to like film a ton of them. But that's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, check me on it, but I'm pretty sure it was one series you're watching recently. And I'm like, what needs 50 episodes in one season?
That's crazy.
I saw something the other day and you like clicked it and it's like, oh, hey, season 2, episode 60. And you're like,
jeez,
huh? And it's just because they literally only broke it up into 2 seasons. So it's not actually, it should have been like 5. But I just want to say thank you for hopping on. Sorry for all my like rants and sidetracks. But would you like people to check you out on social media or find you to make some money or check out your testimonies?
Yeah, I'm as much as I'm always on like helping other accounts grow. I'm so bad at my own. I want to just take care of my clients first. So, yeah, I think my Instagram is Aisha, AYSIATL, and then that'll link to like the clothing company, to the marketing agency, to the website too. So, yeah, we didn't really talk about my work that much because, you know, we're not what we do.
Yes.
We're who we are.
And I'm glad you bring that up too, because that's a lot of what we do on the podcast, because we talk about it as a bar conversation, right? So, and typically when you sit down at a bar, it's like, oh, hey, Tyler, like, oh, what do you do? Mm-hmm. And you just start there. So I'm glad that you bring it up this way. And I think that is something that we should kind of stray away from in our bar conversations, is not what do you do, but something a little bit deeper about someone.
Yeah, well, it ends up being everyone's hobby. It, like, most people's work is everything, because so I mean, these companies want you to be working 80 hours a week and be on and available all the time. So you don't really have the room, the space to find out what you like and research things you care about.
But I just want to say shout out to everybody who's been listening to us and supporting the podcast. You guys are great. Definitely check out, for those who like YouTube videos, we do have a new YouTube. Tyler's posting some nice content. Hopefully one day my computer will actually work, and so I can help edit and throw in some fun stuff out there. And that'll help if you support us, so that way we can eventually expand the studio, make sure we get multiple cameras, and get a little bit better lighting in here. So yeah, thank you so much. As per usual, like, comment, share, subscribe, leave a 5-star review if you haven't already.
Cheers.
Cheers. Good boy. Peace.